Hello, I am Seung-Hoon Han at National Security Research Institute. Thank you for attending. I'm here to present two interesting things, vulnerabilities and countermeasures regarding a trusted platform module. Firstly, I will tell you the background, assumptions, and threat model of our paper. Secondly, I will tell you the vulnerabilities and exploits we found. Lastly, I will tell you the evaluation we did, countermeasures, and conclusion. In our paper, we presented two vulnerabilities, CVE-2017-16837 and CVE-2018-6622. To understand these vulnerabilities, you need to know the architecture of Trusted Computing Group, TCG. TCG is a not-profit organization and defines and promotes global industry specifications and standards. It is supportive of a hardware-based root of trust, and Trusted Platform Module is the core technology of it. TCG technology was already applied to UEFI and has been working in your system. TPM is a tamper-resistant device and has own processor, RAM, ROM, and non-volatile RAM. It also has its own state separated from the system. Typically, it is a chip package and assembled with electronic components and small board. It has been deployed to a variety of commercial off-the-shelf devices such as laptops, servers, and desktops. It provides cryptographic and accumulating measurement functions. These measurement values are accumulated to 24 platform configuration registers, PCRs. TPM is used to determine the trustworthiness of a system by investigating the values stored in the PCRs. There are two types of methods to check the trustworthiness: oracle verification and remote attestation. TPM is also used to limit access to the secret data based on specific PCR values. TPM has two operations, seal and unseal, to manage secret data. Seal operation encrypts the secret data with the PCRs of the TPM, and unseal operation can decrypt the secret data only if the PCR value matches the specific values. Root of trust for measurement sends integrity relevant information, the measurements, to the TPM. TPM specification calls this accumulating operation extend. As you see the extend process on the middle of the page, the TPM accumulates the measurement to a PCR with the previously stored value in the PCR. Because of this process, a small bit changes to a PCR value will affect all the following extended values, and the extended values in PCRs can be compared to expected values locally or submitted to a remote verifier. RTM is the CPU controlled by the core RTM, and it is the first set of instruction when a new chain of trust is established. Two types of RTM, static and dynamic. Dynamic RTM is in the TCG architecture. Static RTM is started by a static CRTM when the host platform starts at power on or restart. In contrast, a dynamic RTM is started by a dynamic CRTM at runtime without the platform reset. The important and common point of SRTM and DRTM are that they extend measurements over hashes of components to the PCRs before patching the control to them. This page shows the real-world example of SRTM and DRTM. Take a look at the upper part, SRTM. When the host platform starts at power on or restart, SCRTM measures itself and the BIOS UEFI firmware code. After that, SCRTM extends hashes to PCRs before transferring the control to BIOS UEFI firmware. Finally, SCRTM transfers the control. BIOS UEFI firmware and bootloader and kernel also measure and extend next code and transfer the control to them. This process is called measured boot. Take a look at the lower part, DRTM. When the dynamic chain of trust starts with a dynamic launch event or DR event. The DR team configuration environment preamble, DCE, performs the initial configuration and prepares the DRTM process. As the DRTM process starts, the DCE is executed as a dynamic CRTM and extends hashes of next call to the PCRs. After that, DCE transfers the control to the initial part of boot components called the dynamically launched measured environment, DRME. In this example, DRME is TBoot, Intel's open source implementation of Intel Trusted Execution Technology. DRME and other components are do the same behaviors as the DCE. As you have seen before, PCRs contain the measurement result of a system. Therefore, they must not be reset by only by the disallowed operation, even if an attacker gains a root privilege. Static PCRs from PCR number 0 to 15 can be reset only if the host resets. Dynamic PCRs from PCR number 17 to 19 can be reset only if the host initializes the DRTM. If PCRs are reset by the attackers, they can reproduce specific PCR values by replaying hashes. This means that the hardware root of trust, the TPM, can be subverted, and the attacker can steal the secret and deceive the local and remote verification. PCR protection mechanisms defined by TCG work properly until yesterday. And today, I will tell you how I can reset and forge PCRs using only the software. Let's check the assumptions and threat model prior to vulnerability analysis. We assume that the system measures boot components using the SRTM and DRTM. And the measurement results stored in PCRs are verified by a remote verifier. Therefore, the modification of boot components are detected by an administrative party. We also assume that the attacker already gained a root privilege with a zero-day vulnerability over social engineering and tried to compromise the whole system. They also tried to hide the breach and retain the root privilege. However, they cannot access the system circuit physically and cannot flash the firmware with arbitrary code using the vulnerabilities. They are able to safely upgrade the BIOS UEFI firmware to a new and manufacturer-signed one only. Advanced configuration and power interface is an open standard for architecture-independent power management, and it is related to the vulnerabilities we found. ACPI defines power states and hardware register sets for them. It also defines four global states, such as working, sleeping, soft off, and mechanical off, and five sleeping states, such as working, power on suspend, sleep, and hibernation. The critical point of ACPI is powering devices off. To support ACPI, all devices, including the TPM, should manage their state before and after powering off, especially S3 sleeping state. This is the process of ACPI sleep. The operating system should notify the TPM of sleep by sending the save state or shutdown command to prevent TPM reset. If the TPM receives the command, it saves the state to the internal NVRAM. And then the operating system recasts ACPI in BIOS UEFI firmware to enter the sleeping state. ACPI enters into the sleeping state and wakes up from the state. And then ACPI should notify the TPM of waking up by sending the startup command. If the TPM receives the command, it restores the saved state from the internal NVRAM. Finally, ACPI resumes the operating system and transfers the control to it. The important point of the ACPI sleep process is the interaction of the operating system and ACPI. For the ACPI sleep process to work properly, the operating system and HPI should collaborate with each other in a predefined order. What if the operating system is compromised and does not notify the TPM of sleep? This is the SRTM vulnerability called the gray area, CVE-2018-6622. The gray area vulnerability is caused by an ambiguity of TPM 2.0 specification. The TPM 2.0 specification said the CRTM is expected to take corrective action to prevent malicious software from manipulating the PCR values. The problem starts here. The specification does not describe the corrective action in detail. I have not found what the corrective action is in the whole specification, and as our test result, it seems that manufacturers also have not found it. According to the last sentence of the first paragraph, BIOS UEFI firmware would reset the TPM. Therefore, I could do replay attack and can forge the PCRs by skipping the notification of the operating system. In the meanwhile, TPM 1.2 did not have the same vulnerability because of failure mode. In the case of TPM 1.2, the specification described what the TPM exactly should do. Until now, I have explained the SRTM vulnerability, and now I will explain the DRTM vulnerability. In the case of DRTM, PCRs of the TPM are reset whenever the system sleeps and wakes up, and DRTM measures and extend call to the TPM. What if the malware intercepts the control flow between the HPI and operating system? This is the lost pointer vulnerability, CVE-2017-16837. The lost pointer vulnerability is caused by unmeasured function pointers. It is an implementation problem of TBoot, which is an open source implementation of Intel's DRTM technology, as known as Intel TXT. The left one is a link script of TBoot. TBoot aligns the code and data which should be measured between the memory start and memory end. And the right one is a symbol table, and memory start and memory end are here. And here are unmeasured function pointers. This means that you can intercept the control flow and extend hashes by hooking these function pointers, because DRTM resets the TPM and extends hashes whenever the system sleeps and wakes up. We made attack scenarios and exploit code to show that the vulnerability we found are not only the theoretical problems and but also the real threats. On the left of the page, it shows the exploit scenario of gray area vulnerability. In the case of SRTM, we could extract the normal hashes from the event logs in the HPI and UEFI data area. So we could change the compromised state to faked state by resetting and replaying the normal hash to the TPM. On the right of the page, it shows the exploit scenario of the lost pointer vulnerability. The scenario is almost the same as the gray area vulnerability except for the DCE and DRME. In the case of DRTM, we could extract the normal hashes from the TBoot event logs, so we could change the system state like the gray area vulnerability. This page shows a list of tested products, TPMs, and SRTM attack results. To check how many devices are affected by the vulnerabilities, we tested various products of 5 PC vendors, such as Intel, Dell, HP, Lenovo, and Gigabyte, and Asus, including TPM 1.2 and TPM 2.0 with Ubuntu 16 version. According to our test result, all products with TPM 2.0 are vulnerable. Therefore, we could exploit the gray area vulnerability with them. the vendors of PCs and TPMs are not an important factor. In contrast, products with TPM 1.2 are not vulnerable because all TPMs enter the failure mode. The failure mode is a special mode which indicates an error state. If the TPM works in failure mode, the attacker cannot reset it. From this result, we inferred that PC and mainboard vendors would have a similar BIOS UEFI firmware code, but we could not confirm that because the firmware is closed source. This is DRTM attack results. To run Intel's DRTM implementation, T-boot, CPU and mainboard should support Intel TXT technology and launch Intel's GCE SINIT AC module. We tested T-boot on all devices listed in this page and finally got five devices, PC number 1, 3, 8, and 9. As I mentioned earlier, the lost pointer DRTM vulnerability is an implementation problem. Therefore, we could exploit the vulnerability regardless of PCs and TPM versions. This page shows the changes of PCR values according to the system state. And originally, each PCR has 40 hexadigits of SHA-1 hash like this. However, for the brevity, only the first 8 hexadigits are shown here. The first columns of these tables show normal PCR values of the benign system. And fifth columns show abnormal PCR values of compromised system that bootloader and kernel are modified. The sixth columns show first PCR values after SRTM and DRTM attacks. As you see, the first columns are same as the six columns, and the TPM is subverted. To solve the SRTM vulnerability, a brutal remedy is to prohibit the platform from entering the S3 sleeping state, since the power state transition is a vital part of the attack. Some BIOS UEFI firmware provides a manual option to disuse the S3 sleeping state. A better way to address this vulnerability is to revise the specification. There are two ways. The first one is revising the specification to enter failure mode if the TPM has no saved state to restore. The second one is revising it to define corrective action in detail and remove the gray area. It could take a long time to apply to the TPM and BIOS UEFI firmware, but they are the fundamental solutions. For the first step, we have contacted manufacturers about the gray area vulnerability from February. As a result, they have released and will release the patched firmware soon. To solve the DRTM vulnerability, our remedy is very simple. We have made a patch to remove the vulnerability and contributed it to the TIBU project. This is our patch link already merged into the TIBU project, and commercial Linux distros such as Red Hat and SUSE already applied our patch to their TIBU packages and deployed. Yeah, this is the last page of my presentation. We found two vulnerabilities that can subvert the TPM using S3 sleeping state. The gray area vulnerability, CVE-2018-6632, is caused by an ambiguity of TPM 2.0 specification. The lost pointer vulnerability, CVE-2017-16837, is caused by the implementation flow of T-boot, the open source implementation of Intel TXT. Because of these vulnerabilities, the hardware-based integrity assurance is broken, and the attacker can steal the secret in the untrusted state. The attacker can also deceive the local and remote verification. To solve these vulnerabilities, we have contacted manufacturers and contributed a patch to the TIBU project. All right, this is the last page. Thank you for your precious time. And any questions?
Hey, you said that one mitigation is to disable S3 state in your BIOS configuration, but is that something the malicious operating system could re-enable, potentially?
Good question, but as I know, if you disable the S3 sleeping state in BIOS UEFI firmware and you lock the set of password in your BIOS, the operating system maybe cannot re-enable the sleep feature.
Maybe, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jethro Beekman for Tanix.
Yeah.
In your list of tested devices, looks like mostly discrete TPMs. Did
yes.
you test any devices that have an integrated firmware TPM from Intel?
You mean the
PTT?
We tested about the firmware TPM.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm so sorry. We did not test it about the firmware TPM, so we do not have any research results about that. Thank you.
Thanks for this presentation. I would be interested in the process of how you found this vulnerability. Had you just a look at the specification?
Good question. I have a prepared additional page for you. This is the general process. Yeah. Firstly, we review the specifications and find the unverified or the inconsistency in the document. So after that, we case study about what we found. And lastly, analyze the problem and apply to other implementation or a similar specification. So we found the vulnerability from the specification. Yeah.
Thank you. Hi, Stefan Serio, Microsoft Research. I was wondering whether you can comment as to why the TPM 2.0 authors decided to change the spec from the 1.2 in this case and introduce this ambiguity about the gray area bug?
You mean that why the TCG make the gray area?
Why not just have the spec say when those conditions happen, then make the TPM enter failure state? Why did they make this change? What prompted them to actually introduce this change in the TPM 2.0? Can you comment?
You mean that? Sorry. Please tell me again.
Okay. So, the TPM 2.0 specifications make some changes over the TPM 1.2.
Oh yeah.
One of the changes that when the TPM actually receive one of these startup commands without a proper shutdown.
Yep.
What TPM 2.0 decided to do was we're not gonna make the TPM enter the failure state. Instead, we're gonna have these corrective measures being done. What made TCG introduce this change in the specification for 2.0?
Ah, we are also wondering about that. But in my opinion, the TCG give want to give much opportunity to handle the error situation. So the specification said the BIOS UEFI firmware manufacturer should handling this error condition, and they said we don't describe anything in detail. So in my opinion, TPM 2.0 has many functional features than the TPM 1.2. Yeah. So the error handling is also the also give the opportunity to the TPM mainboard vendors, in my opinion.
I actually have one quick question too. Is it possible for these vendors to push the firmware, or is this only a change they can make in newly manufactured products for the gray area vulnerability?
There are two ways to fix this gray area of vulnerability. One thing is the TPM manufacturer made new formatter and update the TPM, update it to the TPM. And the other thing is the mainboard manufacturer has made the new formatter to handle the corrective action.
Right. Yep. So there is a mechanism through which like we could download a patch on the millions of TPMs that already exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's not the TPM 2.0 is broken in perpetuity forever. Okay, great. Thanks. That's good.
There were actually TPM patches early. I mean, I don't know about this particular bug, but there are TPM patches earlier this year.
Okay, good. Yeah, I never thought about patching the TPM firmware before. So great session, guys. Let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.